I'm excited to see everyone here tonight. I was worried that some people might have just gone to bed early, you know. You got an extra hour of sleep last night, but it's later in the day now than normal, isn't it? You feel like it's already 7:15 instead of 6:15. So, in fact, I put my kid to sleep before I even got up here to preach. Of course, I didn't put him to sleep. He came asleep. So, we are in Colossians chapter 4. We're going to finish out this book tonight. And one of the things I want us to recognize here is Paul takes this time in verses 7 through the end of the book to thank and appreciate those who have served alongside him, those who are fellow prisoners with him, those who are doing good works for the Lord. And what I want to encourage you tonight to do is think of those people who are doing that for you. Maybe it's one particular person that you're thinking, they have really helped me. They have been good to me. They have served me in ways that I can't thank them enough. And the application from this tonight is, go thank them. Give them some form of appreciation, whether you send a card in the mail. And it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody that's a member of this congregation. It could be somebody long past. In regards to in your past, and it's been 15, 20 years since you've spoken to them, let them know that what they did, how they encouraged you, was such a wonderful thing, wonderful moment in your life that helped you along. I have a number of people in my life that have encouraged me along the way. We can talk about our parents, we can talk about friends or instructors and those kinds of people, but I have a friend that I didn't meet till I had already been in ministry for a few years, and we happened to go to South Dakota to do a clothing campaign, and it was more or less we're bringing coats for all these people that are refugees that have come over from a country that they don't have winter, and yet they're in South Dakota. And it didn't make any sense to me that they put them there, but that's where they ended up, and they didn't have coats. They just came with the shorts and maybe the shirt that they had on their back, and that's all they had. And so we would go up there and we'd hand out coats, and this particular gentleman came from Tennessee, of all places, right? Came from Tennessee all the way up to South Dakota because we had a mutual friend who was a missionary there. And his name's Timmy Walker, who was the missionary in South Dakota. And we meet, and this gentleman's name is Corey Sawyers. And he is now currently preaching in Paris, Tennessee, at the Eastwood Church of Christ. But we hit it off. And he's such an encouraging friend. Whenever I talk to him, whenever I see him, it could be years later. It doesn't matter when it is. He just builds you up and he lifts you up. And that's what he does for me. And I'm very encouraged by him, and I love him for everything that he does, and that is just the person he is. When you read about Barnabas in Acts chapter 4, that's who Corey Sawyers is to me. He is a son of encouragement. I want you to think about those people, or maybe it's one particular person that's come to mind, and give them a call, send them a card, a message, something this week to let them know you're praying for them, you're thinking about them. Because as we go through this list, you'll notice that's exactly what Paul is doing in this letter. He's letting people know about his circumstances and everyone that's helped him. Let's start in verse 7. It says, as to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. So notice, here's Tychicus. He's letting them know. He's the one that's bringing this letter. He's the one that's letting them know everything that's going on with Paul and those that are with him in prison and how they are okay. I know that you've been worried about us. I know that you've been praying about us. I know that you're worried about our circumstances and what's been going on. But I'm sending him along with this letter to let you know we're doing all right. And so that, notice what he says, that he may encourage your hearts. Now, I always love having missionaries come in And they give a little report of what's been going on over the past year or wherever they've been. And they let us know about all these things that have happened. But along the year, as the year goes by and they're gone, sometimes you don't get a bunch of reports letting you know how things are going. It's easier now with email and other sources to be able to know and hear and see some things that are happening. But it wasn't always that way where you would get this monthly report to let you know. And you'd wonder and you'd be praying about them every Sunday and they're on the prayer list in the bulletin. And then when you finally see them, your heart has been encouraged. It's been comforted to know that they're okay. And not just that they're okay, but to see all the good things that have happened with what they've been doing the past year where they've been working. So here's Tychicus. That is his job. That's his role to do for these people in Colossae. Verse 9, it says, "And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of our number, they will inform you about the whole situation here." Good old Onesimus. Now, he's mentioned in another letter in Philemon. Onesimus is that runaway slave, and Philemon is his master. And in that letter to Philemon, Paul urges Philemon to take Onesimus back. And one of the things he does, he says, he's been useful to me. Onesimus was someone that was useful to Paul. He helped Paul. Now, I don't know how the circumstances came about that they met. But as far as Paul was concerned, Onesimus, this slave, you are a brother of mine. You've encouraged me. You've helped me. Philemon, I want you to welcome him back. You know, as a slave who's run away, there's all kinds of punishment that could have happened to Onesimus. And yet Paul is pleading with Philemon, urging him as a brother in Christ to welcome him back and not give him all the punishment that Philemon would be okay to give, in essence. Here's Onesimus, that faithful and beloved brother. I look at you all here tonight, and as we think about people that come on Sunday nights, you know, sometimes it's those who have missed a Sunday morning service, but a lot of times, who are those who are coming on Sunday nights? You're the ones that have been here Sunday morning for Bible class. You're the ones that have been here Sunday morning for worship, and now you're back Sunday night. You are these faithful, beloved brethren that are attending worship services, Bible classes, any fellowship event that's going on. You're there, and you're encouraging and building up one another. You are these faithful and beloved brethren. And then he talks about, in verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas' cousin Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. So here's Aristarchus, and as far as we know, my fellow prisoner, the best guess is, hey, he's probably there with Paul as a prisoner. But other people think maybe it could be he's a prisoner of Christ, that he's bound himself to Christ. But you know, it seems like he's in the same circumstances as Paul, that he's been imprisoned as well, and he is my fellow prisoner. And then you have Mark. Do you all remember Mark? Of course, you've got the gospel account according to Mark, right? You also have Mark, who goes on the missionary journeys with Paul and Barnabas. And what does he do? He deserts them when they're on one of the islands. And he goes back to Jerusalem. That's what Paul says. He says, Mark deserted us, right? That's what Luke records for us in the Acts of the Apostles. And then later on, what do we see? He says, Mark, Barnabas' cousin, he has been an encouragement to me. He has proven to be useful. Now, they had a huge disagreement in Acts chapter 15 where Barnabas wants to bring Mark with them again. And Paul says, no, I'm not taking him. He's good for nothing. He deserted us, right? He hasn't done anything right. And so instead, Paul takes Silas and Barnabas goes with Mark, and they go their separate ways. But now, as you get later on, in time, Mark's come around, Paul's come around, and everything's worked out. And there can be those disagreements among brethren. There can be things that happen, and it ruffles some feathers, and it might hurt a relationship, but notice how in Christ, as things work out, he is my fellow brother. He's been an encouragement to me. And he also mentions Justice, Jesus, who is called Justice. And Jesus is one of those popular Jewish names that's used a lot. And he notes specifically Mark and Justice, the fact that they are brethren to him from the circumcision. Now, here are these Jewish men. Now, when you think about this book to the Colossians, they have been concerned about these false teachings that have come in. And that's what Paul's writing about. And a lot of them could be tied to the Jewish system, the Jewish traditions. And here's Paul saying, you know, these Jews that are Christians, my brethren according to the flesh, my brethren according to Christ, they're working alongside with me. They've been an encouragement to me. They've been helping me. And I think that's an encouragement to those in Colossae that, hey, here's these Jewish Christians that are working alongside Paul, that are working with him and helping him. And maybe it's just these other guys that have come in and started forcing some things upon us. And it could get to the point where, hey, I don't think we should allow another Jewish Christian into this assembly, right? Because of all the false teaching we've had going on. But here Paul commends these Jewish Christians that have helped him, have been an encouragement to him, and makes note of that for the church in Colossae. And then you have in verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of your number. So here's the man from Colossae that's gone to visit Paul. They have been concerned about Paul, and so what do? Epaphras, we want you to go and visit him. We want you to take some things for him to encourage him, to build him up. It says, a bondslave of Jesus Christ sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. I love what he has to say here about Epaphras. I've got a friend that anytime I talk to him, he always says, well, that's a good thing to pray about, isn't it? We could be talking about anything, doesn't matter. One of the last times I talked to him, I was telling him we were having a fifth child, and he goes, just another reason to pray, isn't it? Yes, it is another reason to pray, yes. But it was that encouragement. He wanted to pray. He desired to pray. He wants to go before the Father. He wants to entreat on your behalf. And here's Epaphras doing that for his brethren back in Colossae. We have people here that are just like Epaphras, who are going to the Father on your behalf on a regular basis. They are concerned for you. They love you. They want the best for you. Notice here he says, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in the will of God. We've been going through this book, and it's kind of that wishy-washy thing that's going on with the Colossians, right? Do we follow these people that have been teaching falsely or that are saying some of these things? It sounds good. It sounds like it makes sense. Or do we follow with what Paul has told us, what Paul said? And here's Epaphras saying, I'm praying for you that you stand perfect, firm in the will of God. That's where I want you to stand. We need people praying those exact prayers for each and every one of us, that we would stand perfect and assured in the will of God. Assurance is a wonderful thing. To not have that doubt creep in, but to know I am saved, I am in good standing with the Lord, I am in good standing with the brethren, I'm in good standing in all these places because I'm following his will. In verse 13 he says, for I testify for him that he is a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Areopolis, these cities that are nearby, that are, you could say, sister cities of Colossae and have their connections. And in verse 16 he says, when this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Now, there's a side note here. How did the New Testament church get all these letters together? Notice how they passed them on from congregation to congregation. Now, do you think when they passed him on that they said, well, I guess that's it. We've read it. Let's send it on. Or did they take time to copy it down and make sure that they had a record of what Paul had sent them or what Peter had sent them or so on and so forth? I think that's how you see how the New Testament gets put together, is these letters, these accounts being written, as they are delivered to these congregations, they painstakingly make copies of these letters and pass it on to the next congregation. That's how these New Testament letters circulate and how we had copies that we could look at today, and we can have translations and all that goes on. So it's wonderful to see how this all worked. But he says Epaphras is, he's concerned about you. He's concerned about the brethren in Laodicea. He's concerned about those in Areopolis. Partly, I think, Epaphras, you're worrying quite a bit. But in all honesty, he loves the brethren. I think that's what you see with Epaphras. Do you love the brethren? And I don't just mean, well, sure, I love them. I mean, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. But do you have this deep concern for their well-being? I know some of us, you know, we just moved here a little bit ago, but we haven't always been a part of this congregation. You know, where have you moved from or come from? Do you still have a deep concern about the brethren from where you moved from? And do you stay in contact with them? I know I do. And I pray for those. I make sure I still get bulletins from congregations I've been at in the past, and I look at the prayer list, and when I see someone on there that's going through something, I make sure that I put them in my prayer list, that I'm praying for them. I keep these people in my prayers because I love them. Do you love the brethren? Are you concerned about their well-being? Epaphras was one who gives us that example. And then you have in verse 14, Luke, who is the beloved physician, the writer of the Gospel account of Luke and the book of Acts, sends you his greetings, and also Demas. Demas is one of those interesting characters. Seems like he's a good Christian man who served well with Paul. But later on, he's one who shipwrecked his faith, who chose this world over Christ. And he serves as an example that once saved, always saved is not true. That you can be saved, that you could be a hard worker, you could be put up on the pedestal as one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, ever preached, ever did whatever you did in the church. And yet, towards the end of your life or later on in life, what did you do? You fell away. You chose something else over Christ. Demas serves as an example of that we can fall away, that we can decide later on in life to turn our backs on God. That's why it's so important with people like Epaphras to encourage, to pray, to stay assured. Demas decided this present world was better than the blessings of Christ. And I don't think that's true. But that was his choice. And then you have verse 15, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and also Nympha and the church that is in her house. When this letter is read among you, have it passed on. Then verse 17, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Some people look at that verse and say, Paul, you're criticizing Archippus. But I think it's more of an encouragement, don't you? It says, hey, Archippus, take heed to the ministry that you've received from the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Keep to the task. Keep pressing forward. Keep moving on. Don't slack off. Let's keep pressing. And Paul took time to do that with Timothy. He took time to do that with Titus. Hey, keep moving forward. Don't let these discouragements get in the way. Don't let any other troublesome thing that happens make you fall back. Keep pushing forward. Take heed and focus. All of you are involved in different ministries here at Lake Norman. Take heed. Stay focused. I know that sometimes it can become a burden. I've been there. I've felt burnt out. I've gotten to the point where I felt like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And I'm just searching and grasping for any kind of encouragement, for help along the way. Take heed. Understand that you are working for the Lord. And then verse 18, he says, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. I want to take a moment here and say thank you to everyone here. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for everything you have done for me, everything you've done for my family. I'm looking forward to the ministries that we're involved in, the things that we do together, that we can look back at passages like this and say, hey, we've been fellow workers with one another, and amen, we've done some wonderful things, amen, for the Lord. That's basically what Paul is doing, saying, these people have done so many wonderful things for me, with me, and for the Lord. We're going to do some wonderful things here for one another and for the Lord. This evening, I know that there might be some of you here that are struggling, who are in need, that need prayers, that need help of some kind. If you need that, don't hold back. Some of us in here are like Epaphras. We're worried about you. We're praying for you. We want the best for you. Let us know if there's anything we can do to help. If we need to be praying even more earnestly for you. If you need us to bring some food, if you need some of that help, just let us know. Paul said, I'm sending Tychicus so that you can know my circumstances. It's important for us to share with the brethren what's going on. Not only so that they just know, but so that they can be praying for you, so that they can be helping you and serving you. And if there's anyone here tonight who wants to become part of the family, part of the church, part of the kingdom of God, in obedience to the gospel, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.